So I'm going to be talking about slightly off topic from the rest of the panel, but related, but focusing on macroeconomic policies, and particularly those that the International Monetary Fund encourages in low-resource countries, and how those policies are related to the expansion of health systems and health system strengthening. And I want to thank James Pfeiffer and Wendy Johnson, who I work with at Health Alliance International, for their contributions, and also to a working group that is based in Washington, D.C. that really focuses on IMF policies, and they're kind of the main source for a lot of the information that we get, since we're all the way out in Seattle. So no relationships to disclose. So the IMF has had a legacy of influencing government health budgets in low-income countries in the 1980s through a series of policies called structural adjustment programs that were put in place in developing countries that were put in place in order to ensure debt repayments and to, with the aim of stabilizing economies. They led to cuts in social sector budgets in many countries and to shrinking public health programs, the implementation of user fees, layoffs, reductions in health worker salaries. So there's been a history. It's not just a new phenomenon, what the effect of these policies can be on health budgets. More recently, a topic that has become of concern to particularly this working group that's based in Washington, D.C., is looking, and the countries that are feeling the effects of the of having very small numbers of human resources to be able to respond to the health problems that are in low-income settings, is the topic of wage bill caps. And basically, it's a limit or a line item that are in all national budgets, and that it's the problem is that it's set at a certain amount so that governments are not able to spend beyond that line item amount. So given the severe human resource shortage through much of the developing world, that's this is of great concern. In 1987, UNICEF put out a report that was called Adjustment with a Human Face. And they looked at how in a contracting expenditure environment, there are greater risks of social spending being adversely affected. So this table shows that a significant share of developing countries experience disproportionately large cuts in social spending areas like health and education when compared to overall expenditures. The rows in the table are for the different budget items, and the percentage of countries in each region are classified as vulnerable, protected, or highly protected, where vulnerable is the percentage decline more than the aggregate expenditure. The protected means that the decline is less than the aggregate expenditure, and highly protected means that there's an increase during cuts in overall expenditures. So, for example, looking at the second column of Africa, we see that 56% of the country's health budgets were considered to be vulnerable. So a conclusion that can be drawn from this report and from that experience during times of fiscal contraction or government cutbacks, there needs to be extra support for pro-poor social sector spending. So in terms of the global funding and overseas development assistance context, there's been a recognized need for increases in resources in order to meet the Millennium Development Goals. There have been increases in foreign assistance through some major programs like bilateral programs from the United States, the Global Health Initiative, PEPFAR. There has also been a recognition of the importance of having, encouraging, supporting countries, developing countries, and the expansion of the national budgets for health and development. There's a outcome document from the Millennium Development Goals Summit in September in which the General Assembly said, enhancing and strengthening domestic resource mobilization and fiscal space, including where appropriate through modernized tax systems, more efficient tax collection, broadening the tax base, and effectively combating tax evasion and capital flight. And so it's basically saying that countries should have this ability to expand and their domestic resources. And they also mention social protection floor. So there should be sort of this, not just thinking at how to cap things from the top, but at the bottom, sort of establishing these floors. So in this context of kind of increased kind of recognition of the importance of expanding foreign assistance, there was a report that was put out by the Independent Evaluation Office of the IMF, and it's called the IMF and Aid to Sub-Saharan Africa. And it was a review of 29 countries from 1999 to 2005, and what was found is that on average, 7 out of every $10 in new aid was channeled to currency reserve accounts or used for debt repayment, so not being used for its intended purposes. And then the countries with inflation rates below 5% get to spend 79% of aid increases on average, whereas countries with higher inflation get to spend only 15% of such increases on average. So there's a sort of set, there appear to be targets for inflation rates. So a report that came out from the Center for Global Development was looking at whether or not the IMF constrains health spending in poor countries. And they basically said that there isn't the evidence in the economic literature to call for these such low levels of inflation. And that decisions are being made without taking into consideration what the consequences are for health, and that health ministries are not in a position to negotiate for the expansion of their budgets to be able to respond to the problems at the scale that they need to. So in soon after this, those reports, the world was hit with the global financial crisis. And in April of 2009, G20 leaders designated the IMF as the central vehicle for global economic recovery and actually tripled the fund's lending capacity from $250 to $750 billion. And there has been, kind of looking back, there's been some ability for countries to spend more, to expand their budgets. But now reviewing again, and I'll show a recent UNICEF report, it looks like it's basically kind of going back to that more 2007 scenario. And there continue to be tight fiscal targets. So UNICEF just put out a report that's called Prioritizing Expenditures for Recovery for All. And basically the authors find that they did a review of 126 developing countries to understand what has happened recently and what's expected to happen in the near future. And they basically found that 44% of governments are planning or have expected contraction of their total expenditures for 2010-2011. So there are a long list of countries that, just looking at a few of these measures that are being considered, a long list of countries basically looking more at cutting down on kind of social sector budgets. So wage bill, they're planning to use wage bill cuts or caps, limit subsidies, and target or restrict social protection. And there's a much smaller set of countries that are basically looking to do the opposite. So you can look and see which countries appear on this list. So in 2008, Health Alliance International had a group that's affiliated with this working group in Washington, D.C. We had them come to Seattle for a macroeconomic literacy training to give us a little bit of, because we're not economists, to give us a sense of give us a basic understanding, basic framework for understanding how these policies affect health systems. And one of the people who came, who was invited, is named James Heintz, who's an economist from the Political Economy Research Institute at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. And the next two slides are slides that he used at the training. And basically we asked that he look also at what kind of policies could be put in place so that governments could expand their public health budgets rather than just looking at, you know, what's happening in terms of these macroeconomic policies that are being promoted by the IMF. So he made five assumptions, that there'd be a 10% increase in domestic tax revenues due to better resource mobilization, which is also what the UN summit called for. 1.5% of GDP increase due to a combination of domestic borrowing and lower debt servicing costs, 10% increase in development assistance, a third of the additional financial resources targeted at healthcare expenditures specifically, and an overall revised macroeconomic framework that allows for greater public spending rather than having these kind of targets. So he then went through the exercise of looking at 10 African countries and using 2008 data, seeing what this would result in terms of increases in public health expenditures. So the last column shows how much public health expenditures could be increased by taking into consideration those five assumptions. So I want to finish up with some of the key topics that this working group is currently calling for in terms of reforms. Basically calling for development-oriented macroeconomic policies. Also calling for debt cancellation, and the IMF has been authorized to sell gold, which they have a large gold reserve. But the thought is that it would be used for administrative costs rather than for debt cancellation. So that's what this working group is calling for. So debt cancellation and for grants in the future. Also calling for increased transparency of the IMF and reform in governance and who is making decisions and who's of sitting at the table, making sure that there's more representation of low-income countries, and also ensuring that at a national level, parliaments approve new IMF loans. What does this mean for health system strengthening? In terms of the topic of health workforce, that's something that we're very concerned about with Health Alliance International, the work that's done particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, where there are severe shortages. This could mean, as that last column showed, major expansions in terms of public health budgets. It would also promote country ownership of health systems expansion so that the decisions would be made by ministries of health, because one of the things that we've seen that has happened is that through this, you know, the interpretation has been, well, governments we're seeing are having resources that are coming in through development assistance, having it go channeled to other places. So maybe it's better to bypass governments and just give the funding to non-governmental organizations. And that's something that we're concerned about. So we at Health Alliance International, with a number of different organizations, have worked on developing a code of conduct for health system strengthening that really defines what the role is for NGOs, not overstepping bounds and taking on a responsibility that we consider to be more something that the Ministry of Health or government should be in charge of. So that's all that I had to present.